This is lesson TBP number 8, and our series we're on is the Prayer of Faith, and this is part 7. And I've entitled part 7, The Nobleman's Son.
Amen.
Please open to Mark chapter 11, as usual, and then turn to John chapter 4. I'm just going to kind of hit our key scripture in Mark, and then we're going to turn immediately to John. Just seems like no matter how much we do in this prayer of faith, there's more to cover, and I just can't get away from it, so let's just stay with it for a while and see what we have here. I think God wants us to know how to pray, don't you? I mean, He has a lot in His Word about prayer. Pastors ask us to talk about prayer. It's here in the Word of God. We're going to find out tonight what a privilege it is to have the Word, because there's this man we're going to talk about tonight that didn't have that. So the Word of God says in verse 24, Jesus is speaking. When Jesus speaks, I think it's true, don't you? After all, He is the Word of God. He said, talking about prayer, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and what?
You
what? You shall have them. So He's giving us something here. Is there some things you desire? Is there some things you want? Well, Jesus is saying, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. And we talked last week about the fact that, hey, it's not hard to have a desire, is it? But what is a difficult thing sometimes for us is to believe you receive when you pray. And the key to that is what? We've talked about that. It's knowing what God's will is in the situation when you're praying. If you know what God's will is when you pray, it's kind of easy to believe you're going to receive. If that word is more than just in your head, down in your heart, you know God's will. So believe you receive when you pray. Not pray and then wait and see what happens and then say, I believe. Isn't it nice? I've got the manifestation. Now I believe. Anybody can believe when they see something.
Right.
In fact, that's not even called believing. At that point, you know you have it. If you have a car sitting in your garage and you go out and you look at it every day, you don't say, I believe I have a car. No, before you get your car, if you're praying about a car or something, you say, I believe I'm going to have a new car. But once the time comes when you're out in the garage and that car is sitting there, you don't have to say, I believe I'm going to have a car anymore, right? Because you have it.
Right.
You only believe in the time that elapses from the time you pray, when you pray, until the manifestation comes. So Jesus said the key to receiving from God is believing you receive when you pray. Okay? And the only way you can do that is to know what God's will is. Let's turn to John chapter 4. There's a really good example I was reading this week in the Word, and this thing just jumped out at me and thought, well, let's just have that Sunday night. Verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where He made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman, a nobleman being a ruler or kind of a factotum in the area, certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. So Jesus is in Cana, this man is in Capernaum. There's about 25 miles distance as a crow flies between them. When this nobleman heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for his son was at the point of death. The son was in bad shape. He was just on the verge of dying. This parent, this nobleman, is going to come to Jesus and see if Jesus would come and heal him. Then Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Then the nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Or the Amplified Version, the New International Version say, he will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And himself believed in his whole house. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, there's something very, very interesting in this little account. You know, as you read the Bible, you find out everything in there is important. If you'll dig in there and you'll meditate on every little bit, that's especially in the New Testament, the epistles and the Gospels, God, the Holy Spirit, has that in there for a reason. And if you'll meditate on it, God will open it up to you, just like a flower. But it comes, you have to dig. You know, it's sort of like mining gold. It isn't always laying on the surface. You've got to get dig down there and dig and dig and dig, and it looks like you're not getting anything, and all of a sudden you come into a vein. And as you meditate on the Word of God, you'll find those veins all through the Word of God. It's rich and it's good and it's deep and it's wonderful. But it takes a little work sometimes. So here we got a situation where this man has a problem. His son is about to die. He lives in a city named Capernaum. All right? Jesus is in Cana, which is about 25 miles away as a crow flies. It's probably 30 or more by the roads. And in those days, you either rode a donkey or you walked or whatever. And so it took this man a couple of days to get there. Sometimes these little background help you see what's going on. This man has to leave his son, which is at the point of death, and walk for a couple of days to get to Jesus on the supposition that hopefully Jesus will actually come to his house. Because in his mind, if Jesus can come to his house, there's a possibility at least that his son will be healed. Okay, so this man leaves his son. Now, I know it's got to be hard for a parent to leave their son at the point of death on the chance that maybe, just this, maybe this man can heal the son. So he had to walk for a day and a half or a couple of days, overnight at least, till he got to Jesus. And all this way, I imagine he's thinking, I hope I can talk Jesus into coming to my house. Because he's away from his son now. So he gets there and he says, it says in verse 47, he besought him that he would come down and heal his son. For he was at the point of death. You can just see this father coming there, finally getting to Jesus, finally finding out where he was, and just saying, I want to be able to talk this man into coming to my house. Then said Jesus unto him, now listen to this, except ye see signs and wonders, ye shall not believe. Now to me, that's sort of like the man walking up to Jesus and saying, please, Jesus, come down and heal my son. And Jesus says, have you noticed the weather lately? It's just been hot. Unseasonably warm. I mean, what has this got to do with anything? Jesus says, except ye see signs and wonders, ye shall not believe. See, the man was looking at the problem as being his son at the point of death. And admittedly, that's a problem. But Jesus sees another problem. The problem is, he's got to move this man from faith in what Jesus can do to faith in his word. In other words, he's got to instill some faith in this man. Right now, this man's just an observer. Jesus wants to make him a participant in his healing.
That's right.
Just like we're always participants. Jesus always wants to heal, but our faith is involved, right? This man's faith is involved here. It's his child. Did you know, as parents, your faith is involved? When your children are very little, you have authority over them. And you can pray the prayer of faith for them as well as you can for yourself. And so this man's coming to Jesus, trying to get him to move from Cana to Capernaum and put his hand on his child because he believes that Jesus has some power and he'll just do that. But see, Jesus said, unless you see the result, you're not going to believe. You want to see then believe. You've got to believe then see. That's what Jesus is saying. You see the difference? So many times that's what we want to do. We want to see then believe. But that's what in Mark 11:24 it says, believe you receive when you pray. And then you shall have it. So Jesus' whole task here is to move this man from seeing and then believing into believing first so that he can finally see his son healed. You see the distinction there? So Jesus says to the man, unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. Jesus sees a problem here. Problem Jesus sees is not the son. That's not a problem. The problem is getting his father in faith for his son. And so the nobleman said to Jesus, sir, come down, lest my child die. He still doesn't get it. Now listen, I was meditating on this thing, and I thought, this man just didn't believe. He didn't have enough faith. I thought the fault is in the man. But you know what I believe the Lord revealed to me? The man couldn't be expected to have any more faith than he had. What did he have to operate on? He didn't have the Word of God.
That's right.
All he had was he heard about Jesus and what Jesus could do. But then Jesus said something to him. Now this is the important part. Go thy way, thy son liveth or will live. All right, now he's got the Word of God. Just like on our situation when we're praying. Here's the Word. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, when I was reading this, I thought, as I got deeper and deeper into this, what Jesus was saying here, just sort of occurred to me, you know, this is where the moment of truth is. This man has come to Jesus, he wants his son healed. Jesus sees a problem. The problem is, unless you see the result, you're not going to believe. I've got to move this man from trying to believe after he sees to believing before he sees. And so Jesus gives him the Word of God, just like he gives us the Word of God on healing. He says, go thy way, thy son will live. Now, as I read this, meditated on it, I'm thinking, here's a great pause. I imagine heaven stilled and hushed. Here's where the truth, here's where it's all at right now. What is this man going to do with what Jesus just said? What are we going to do with what Jesus has said? When he says, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. He's giving his opinion here, okay? And he's saying, go thy way, thy son liveth. I can just see Jesus and this man eyeball to eyeball. And Jesus is waiting. And the man is going, this isn't exactly what I had in mind. I had Jesus coming to my house and laying hands on my son. Now he's asking me to walk away. I've walked 2 days to get here. We've had a 10-second conversation. And now I'm supposed to turn around and walk back home 2 days back after I've walked all this way. Now there's a battle going on here, folks. That's right. There really is. That's right. Just like we have a battle when we hear the Word of God. Are we going to obey what it says? Are we going to do what it says? Or are we going to just kind of say, Jesus, come on to my house, will you? Let's see. Let's put it on you, Jesus. You do something. Jesus is saying, you do something. If you believe what I'm saying here, go your way. Okay? So I'm just seeing these guys eyeball to eyeball, Jesus and this man. And this man is wondering now, what's going to happen here? Am I going to leave now? Or is he going to ask one more time, Jesus, please come to my house. My son's going to die. What do you think would have happened at this point if this man would have said exactly what he said in verse 47 or verse 49, sir, come down ere my child die the second time? Think about that for a second. Jesus, now he has the Word of God on the situation. Jesus has told him to do something. Go thy way, thy son liveth. Will live. Now, I'm kind of going around and around and looking at this from four or five different angles, but it's really, really important. So Jesus has challenged this man. But the only way he can move this man from faith in what Jesus might do to faith for his son is giving the Word of God on the situation, just like he's given us this Word in all kinds of situations. So now the man has a basis for faith. Jesus has spoken. What's he going to do? Is he going to believe it or not? And I think all heaven was waiting to see what this man was going to do. I really do. And the man believed the word that Jesus has spoken to him, and he went his way. And I've written down here in the notes, you know, because that's where it was. We all come to these points in our faith. There's a crisis point at each person when they pray the prayer of faith. Are you going to believe the Word of God? Are you going to ask again? Smith Wigglesworth said, if you've prayed seven times for the same thing, you prayed it six times in unbelief.
That's right. That's right.
And I might add this. This is my own addition. If you prayed seven times the prayer of faith, you prayed at least six times in unbelief. The seventh time might have been two. We don't know. But you know, when you pray the prayer of faith, now there's many times of prayer, you need to believe you receive when you pray. That's what Jesus said. And that's what he's trying to move this man to do. Believe you receive now. I'm going to say something. Here's my word on the situation, and here it is. Go thy way, thy son liveth. You believe that naked word of God and go your way, right? If you don't believe, what do? You say, son, sir, please come down. My son is at the point of death. But the man believed, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour which he began to amend. And there's another good point in here. You see, they began to amend. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we go up for prayer or we pray about something, and we don't see a big change right away. And so if we're not careful, our faith we go, oh, I guess it didn't work. But see, a lot of times when you get hands laid on you or something like that, you begin to amend at that point. And it may be a slow, gradual thing. And whether you advance from that point or not depends on what your approach is. Are you going to go your way and believe you received in spite of the fact that you still have the pain there for a while? Or are you going to look at it right after you get out of church and say, you know, this still hurts. I guess I didn't get anything tonight. See, if that man would have done this, his son would have died. See, God's got a reason for having this stuff in here. And he began to amend. And they, when did you begin to amend? And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. Now, you know, that man, listen to this, this man had to walk a day and a half. Did you notice here it said unto him, verse 52, and they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. That man walked all the rest of the day after he talked to Jesus, stayed somewhere for the night, and was walking on the next day when these people met him. What do you suppose would have happened if he got along on that second day and the enemy, don't you think the enemy was putting some thoughts in his mind? Absolutely. You're getting further and further away from the solution here. Mm-hmm. You know, the solution's back there. He's supposed to come to your house. Every step you take, you're getting further from the answer to this thing. Don't you think the enemy's telling, that's what he tells us, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, his faith eventually, the beginning was that Jesus coming to his house. And all that way, he's walking further thinking, you know, I wonder if my son has died. He's probably put that thought in his mind. You know, you crazy guy, you went out there to get the man of God. He's not even coming. Your son's dead. Or here's what it would have been me probably. I'd have been walking on my way back the second day, and I thought, you know, man, I think I blew it maybe. You know, your mind's working. Maybe there's still time to go back and ask him one more time. Sir, come to my house ere my child die. I mean, this is a battle this man's going through. I just know it. But this man kept on walking all that day, slept somewhere all that night. You ever notice when you lay down and go to sleep, that's when the thoughts come sometimes when you're trying to believe something. It's when you lay down. Everything's going fine, and then after you lay down, bam, there it is. Whether you're believing for finances, whatever it is, you lay down and you close your eyes and boom, the enemy throws in your mind right then a problem. But this man went his way, kept on walking, walked back to the house, and just kept acting on what? What do you act on?
The word.
The word of Jesus Christ. If he hadn't done that, folks, his child would have died. It's so important. This isn't just something where Jesus said, we just act on faith to act on faith. This is the way things work. This child would not have been healed if that man would have turned around and gone back and said, please, Jesus, I'm down on my knees. I'm begging you. Please come to my house. Jesus said, I'm sorry. It wouldn't do any good right now. See, I gave you my word, you don't believe my word. He said, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. But that man went from that problem. See, he didn't have any basis for faith before then. He didn't have any word of God. He didn't know what Jesus' opinion was. All he knew was this man got people healed. And if he could just get him from A to B, his child would be healed. But Jesus gave him some word. He gave him a basis for faith, and that was his word saying, go thy way, thy son will live. And he's given us the same thing right here. It's called the word of God. He's got everything covered in here that you need in your life. All you've got to do is find out what his will is. Then, when you do, it's possible then to believe that you receive when you pray. So let's go over our homework now. First question is a true and false question. True or false? According to our Mark 11:24 text, the first thing we need to do when we pray the prayer of faith is to decide exactly what it is we want. Is that true or false? Well, to answer this question, we need to go back and quote Mark 11:24. And I'll do that right now. Mark 11:24 is our text for the prayer of faith, and it says, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So, according to that verse, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. First thing you have to do to pray the prayer of faith is to find out exactly what it is you want. Is that true or false? That's exactly true. You know, sometimes we're a little vague on that. We know that there's something in our lives that isn't quite right or some situation we want changed, but we don't formulate it in a way that
is clear in our minds, and I think it's necessary, it's a good thing to do that before you pray. What is it exactly that I want? And then once you decide what you want, figure out whether you have the faith for that thing yet. If you don't, then you need to go back, read the Word of God on that subject, find out what the will of God is, and then as you do that, faith will come into your heart so that you can believe you receive when you pray. And then if you do those things, you receive that thing for which you've prayed. All right, next question. True or false? If we know what we desire and we believe when we pray that we receive it, then we shall have it as long as we maintain that faith between the time we pray and until the time it manifests. Is that true or false? That's exactly true. That is exactly what you do in the prayer of faith. Figure out what you desire, and then if you can believe that you receive when you pray, in other words, that it's all taken care of, you don't believe that you're going to receive it in the natural right that instant, but you just believe it's all taken care of, that once you pray, that's it, God's heard it, you know it's His will, you've studied His word, the faith is in your heart, and then after you've prayed, you maintain that expectancy between the time you pray and until the time the thing for which you've prayed manifests. That's called the prayer of faith. And so the answer to that question is true. Next question. This is a little confusing, so listen closely. I've got a lot here, so I'll try to read it clearly. There are three tenses in Mark 11:24. Now, by tenses, I mean like present, past, and future tense. Okay, let me start over. There are three tenses in Mark 11:24. The desire for the object of our prayer and the meditation in God's Word to get the faith we need when we pray happen before we pray. In other words, that would be past tense. Then the believing we receive is when we pray. That would be present. And then we shall have that for which we've prayed after we pray. That would be future. That's a little confusing, I realize, but we've already read it. So is it true or false? Well, it's true. What I'm trying to bring out here is there are really three tenses in this prayer of faith. The things you do before you pray, the things you do when you pray, and the thing you do after you pray. Okay? The thing you do before you pray is figure out what it is you want, and then develop the faith to pray that prayer. In other words, you develop the faith by meditating on the scripture that covers the thing that you want, by finding out what God's will is on the situation, and then let that faith get down in your heart. That's what you do before you pray. When you pray, you believe that you receive that thing for which you've prayed right then. Now, we don't believe it's manifested right then, but we believe that we receive, that everything is taken care of, God has heard our prayer, and we go into rest on that situation. Oh, thank God, He's heard my prayer now, and it will manifest in the future. Okay? And then you wait expectantly after the time you pray until it's manifested. You don't negate that prayer by saying things, well, I guess He didn't hear me, I haven't seen anything yet, or something like that. Maintain that expectancy, and if you do those three things that are past, present, and future, you will receive the thing for which you've prayed. Okay, now, those three questions that we just had were on the prayer of faith. Now, let's go in now to the lesson on the nobleman's son that we had for this particular teaching. And so the rest of the questions on the homework are going to refer to the account of the nobleman coming to Jesus to heal his son. So let's go into those questions now. First question, true or false? Now, I'm assuming that to answer these questions, you're going to have to have recently read this passage in the Bible, which is contained in John chapter 4, verses 43 through 54. So, assuming that you've just read that and it's fresh in your mind, answer these questions. True or false? The nobleman must have believed that there was a good chance that Jesus would heal his son, for he had traveled many miles to get to Jesus. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. He did travel many miles to get to Jesus. Remember, Jesus was in Cana of Galilee, I think it said, and the man came from Capernaum. And so that's like, about 25 miles. And so he must believe there was a good chance that Jesus would heal his son to go all that way to get to Jesus. So that's true. We can tell by his actions and what he said there. He says, Lord, come to my house and heal my son. So he did think there was a good chance that his son would be healed from the account in the Bible. We can tell that, so that's true. Next question. When the nobleman left home and traveled many miles to go to Jesus, he had strong, and in check one, faith or hope? Which was it? Well, the tendency might be, if you read it not too closely, was to be answered true. He left home, he went all those miles, so he must have had strong faith. That would be a wrong answer, however. When the nobleman left home and traveled many miles to go to Jesus, he only had strong hope. How do we know? Well, that's the next question. When he came to Jesus, recall, well, let me just read a couple things here, all right? It says, verse 46, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He's got a serious problem, in other words. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So that thing that Jesus said there is the key to our answering this question, how we know that he did not have strong faith. Because Jesus said right there, unless you see signs and wonders, in other words, a miracle, unless you see me actually heal your son, you're not going to believe. In other words, this man wanted to see his son healed before he believed. He was hoping Jesus would heal his son. He was hoping Jesus would come down to Capernaum and heal his son, but he wasn't sure. And he wasn't even sure his son would be healed, and we know that because Jesus said, unless he sees the actual healing, he's not going to believe. So Jesus clears that up for us. So we know that the man, he sure had a strong hope traveling all that way. He sure hoped Jesus would heal his son. But Jesus said himself that unless he sees the results of Jesus coming, he's not going to believe. So that's not faith. That's only hope. See, when you have faith, you believe first. Here the man hoped first and then he wanted to believe when he saw the actual healing take place. Okay, next question. Which one of these two, faith and hope, is required to pray the prayer of faith? Well, as the teenagers would say, duh. Prayer of faith means prayer of faith. Exactly that. So you're going to have what? Faith. It's not the prayer of hope. It's the prayer of faith. Faith is required. I'm trying to get this into your heads. Faith is what's required when you pray the prayer of faith. You must believe that you receive when you pray. Not hope that you're going to receive when you pray. Not hope very strongly that you're going to receive when you pray. But you must actually believe that you receive when you pray. So which one of these two, faith or hope, is required to pray the prayer of faith? It's faith. Next question. Jesus knew the man wanted to blank first and then blank, rather than blank first and then blank. What goes in those blanks? Well, let's read it again. Jesus knew the man wanted to see first and then believe, rather than believe first and then see. Now, wrapped up in this little statement, folks, is a really important concept. If we're not careful, we'll pray and then hope to see results to our prayer. We'll just fire off a prayer and hope it turns out. But see, that's just what this man was doing here, in a way. See, Jesus knew the man wanted to see first, and then he'd believe when he saw Jesus heal his son. But see, the order that we have to do this to actually see the results is to believe first, and then we'll see. That's why Jesus took a hand in this thing, to try to change the man's way of thinking. And we're going to cover that right now. Jesus knows that it is necessary for the man to move from blank to blank, from being an observer to a blank in his son's healing. What goes in there? Jesus knows it is necessary for the man to move from hope to faith, from being an observer to our participant in his son's healing. And folks, it's the same way with us. That's why it's so important to grasp this concept. Jesus knows it's necessary for us to move from hope to faith. If we've only got hope, we've got to get from hope to faith. Now, hope's great. It's a goal setter. It's the thing that gives you the desire for the thing when you pray. But that's not enough. You have to develop the faith so that when you pray, you can believe that it's all taken care of. You can go into rest, not still be anticipating and wondering. Well, you can anticipate the positive result, but not wonder. In other words, that would be hope. So Jesus knows it was necessary for the man to move from hope to faith, from being an observer to a participant in his son's healing. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. The reason I want to bring this out is because it's so important for us too. Too many times we throw everything off on God when we have a part to play too. You know, we try to throw it off on God. Well, I'll just pray and let God sort it out. Well, we got to do more than that. We've got to pray in faith, believing. Next question, true or false? The nobleman was relying on Jesus to provide all that was needed for his son's healing. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. The nobleman was putting everything off on Jesus. Now, it's true the nobleman did come to Jesus. He did do that much. But as far as getting his son healed, he was putting it all off on Jesus. Oh, Jesus, come to my home, you know, and heal my son. He's at the point of death. And Jesus said, unless you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe. He was just sort of saying that, like, I can see a problem here. And the man didn't pick up on it. He says, sir, come to my house or my son's going to die. But Jesus is trying to move this man from hoping to believing. True or false? The man's attitude was, I have nothing to lose. I may as well try Jesus. Who knows? It might work. That's true. We know that because we know that Jesus said unless the man saw signs and wonders, he was not going to believe. A man has not believed yet. So he went all that way, but he must have gone there all that way thinking, this is all that's left. I have nothing to lose. My son is at the point of death. Everyone says so. This is my last hope. I'm going to go there. I'm going to lay it before Jesus and try him. He's the last straw. It might work. This is all I have left. And folks, that's not enough. Because Jesus saw it right away. The man was only hoping. Because he said, unless you see signs and wonders, unless you see me heal your son, you're not going to believe. Why did Jesus answer the man with, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe? Well, folks, the reason he did that is because Jesus knew the man was waiting to see what would happen when Jesus went to his son before he would believe. Okay? And so Jesus had to take a hand in this, and we're going to discuss that. I keep saying we're going to discuss it, and we are. But Jesus took a hand in this situation to move that man from hope to faith. Name at least one other Bible person who had the same problem. In other words, the same problem that the nobleman had. Well, one person really stands out, doesn't it, in the Bible. We even call him Doubting Thomas. Thomas had this exactly same problem. Remember, the disciples were all gathered together except Thomas. And Jesus came into their midst after he rose from the dead, and he showed them the nail prints in his hand, and he showed them the wound in his side from the soldier's spear. And then later, Thomas came into their midst after Jesus left, and they told him, Thomas, Jesus was here. And he wouldn't believe him. Even though everyone there said, we saw Jesus, he said, I will not believe unless I can actually put my fingers into the prints in his hand, the nail holes in his hand, and thrust my hand into his side. Unless I do these things, he said, I will not believe. In other words, here's another man that had the same problem. He wanted to see signs and wonders first, and then believe. Unless I see and put my hand in Jesus' wounds, I will not believe. See, he wanted to see and then believe, rather than to believe and then see. And Jesus then appeared in their midst, and he said, Thomas. You know, he says, blessed are those who believe and haven't seen. That right there wraps up this whole thing with this nobleman here. He said, blessed are those who believe and then see. What would be the blessing for the nobleman that he would receive if he can just believe first before he sees his son getting healed? And he did get healed because finally the nobleman moved from seeing first, then believing, to believing first, and then he did see his son healed. True or false? Jesus knew that the man had a part to play in his son's healing, So he tried to get the man to do his part. Is that true or false? Well, that is exactly true. Jesus did know the man had a part to play in his son's healing. In other words, sometimes we don't realize that too. We think it's all off on God. God, I'm just going to let you know my problem, and it's all up to you now. No, God says, you know, I'm interested in solving your problem, but I'm also interested in seeing your faith. I want to see what you believe. You have to believe something first, and then you'll see. You don't expect to see something, and then, I believe my prayer was answered. And that's not the way it happens. What was the nobleman's part? What was it that Jesus asked him to do? His part was to hear what Jesus said and then obey the word of God. What came from Jesus' mouth? And what did Jesus say? I probably should have had that question in here. Jesus said for this man, he said, go thy way, thy son liveth. Didn't he? After Jesus discerned that unless the man saw signs and wonders, he would not believe, Jesus said something to him. And he didn't, and he changed everything around. The man wanted Jesus to come to his house and heal his son. And Jesus instead said to the man, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, what was the nobleman's part then? What part was he to play? The part the nobleman was to play was to obey the word of Jesus, which in this case is the word of God. He was to hear what Jesus said, not question it, turn around, obey, and go home. Because that's exactly what Jesus said. Now, it changes the man's plans, doesn't it? The man's plan was for Jesus to come to his house and heal his son. But Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. In other words, that man had to turn around and walk probably 2 days back to his home, not seeing anything with his eyes, but only seeing in his spirit with the eyes of faith his son healed based on Jesus' word, in this case, the word of God. What does what the nobleman had to do have in common with Mark 11:24? Well, the thing the nobleman had to do was first he had a desire, didn't he? He had a desire, he came to Jesus to get his son healed. Then he had to believe what Jesus said, even though it went against his own plan. Then he had to act on what Jesus said, and then later he saw the results of what he believed. And that's the same way in Mark 11:24. First we have a desire, then we formulate our faith and pray, believe we receive when we pray, and then between the time we pray and the time the thing that for which we've prayed is manifested, we act on our faith. In other words, we maintain our confession, we maintain what we say in line with what we prayed, we maintain all our actions in line with what we prayed, we don't speak negatively, we don't say, I wonder what's happening here, it's taking a long time, I wonder if God did hear my prayer, I wonder if this is really, I'm really going to receive this. We don't do things like that. And if we'll continue to act on the Word of God during this time that passes from the time we pray until the time we see the manifestation, we will have that thing for which we've prayed. So, that was a long statement. What the nobleman had to do have in common with Mark 11:24? You can put this in this blank. To believe he received and then act on that belief for a period of time, even when he saw no change before he actually received. What was the thing that Jesus provided that enabled the nobleman to move from hope to faith? What was the thing that Jesus gave the man? He gave him his word, didn't he? What was that word? Go thy way, thy son liveth. How do we know that the man was able to move from hope to faith? How does God tell? He tells by if we act on that faith or not. Do we act on God's word or do we not? Do we just hear it and just let it go nowhere? Or do we act on what God's word said? The thing that Jesus provided that enabled the nobleman to move from hope to faith is his word. Okay? And the word was, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, that word brings faith, folks. How does faith come? Let's just a little review here. What does Romans 10:17 say? Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This man heard the word of God, which in this case was, go thy way, thy son liveth. When he acted on that word, he actually saw later the manifestation of the thing he wanted. His son healed, didn't he? So the thing that Jesus provided that enabled the nobleman to move from hope to faith was his word. How could Jesus tell the man made this move, in other words, from hope to faith? Well, the answer is, he could see him go, and he could see him go without questioning Jesus any further. He just simply turned around, obeyed Jesus' word, and left. What was that word? Go thy way, thy son liveth. Jesus didn't stand here and discuss it, stand here and ask me how this is going to work, or question me, or, Jesus, when I go all this way, I'm leaving now, couldn't you just come to my house? Because I'd rather have you come with me. I mean, no, he just turned around and he left. That was obeying the word of God. How can God tell when we do? In other words, how we make this move from hope to faith? The same way, folks. When we act on what his word says, whatever it might be. If it's finances, when we act, we tithe, we believe, we act on our faith, we give of our finances. Given you shall receive, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Okay? We have to act, you know. When we want healing, we have to find out what God's word has to say. By Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Jesus has already taken your infirmities. He's borne your sickness. Build that faith up in our heart by meditating on those scriptures, and then pray and believe we receive our healing. At that instant, we go into rest about that situation, and that manifestation will take place as long as we continue to walk in faith from the time we pray until a healing is manifested. So how can God tell when we do? When we act on his word the same way. The nobleman walked in faith in two ways. What were they? And I have a little smiley face there, okay? So you know one of them is going to be a little different. The nobleman walked in faith two ways. What were they? Number one, he obeyed the word by leaving to return home. Just as Jesus said, he obeyed the word. That's walking in faith one way. What was the other way he walked in faith? Well, he actually walked away from Jesus in faith toward home, in faith, believing. In other words, when we say walk in faith, we don't literally mean normally walking with our feet. But in this case, the guy actually had to, didn't he? He not only had to walk in faith by leaving to return home by obeying what Jesus said, but he also had to walk quite a ways to get there too. Ha ha, that was funny, right? Okay, going on to the next question. At what point did the son begin to amend? Well, we see from our thing here, it says the father, so it says, oh, people came to the father as he got close to the house and said to him, thy son liveth. Then he inquired of them the hour which he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. That would be 1 p.m. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Okay, so at what point did the son begin to amend? When Jesus spoke, and when the man turned and left for home, obeying what Jesus said. That is when the son began to amend. Now, next question, true or false? The son continuously improved as his father continued to walk in faith, or in other words, walk home in faith. That's true. It says he began to amend. That means he started to get well. In other words, sometimes healing is not instantaneous. It's a gradual process. So it said the son began to amend. In other words, there was a change as soon as the man heard the word of Jesus and turned and began to walk home. His son began to amend and get better from that point on. It's this way with many answers from God in prayer. Is that true or false? That's true. A lot of times we think that we should receive an instantaneous answer to prayer. But, folks, the thing that's instantaneous is not the seeing it with our eyes. The thing that's instantaneous when we pray is the fact that there's a change made in the spirit world. And I'll explain that a little bit in the last question here. Last question. What does this tell us? In other words, what does this tell us that many things don't happen, we don't see it in the natural immediately? It tells us that when we believe we receive when we pray, power is then applied to the situation. That if left interrupted, will produce the thing for which we prayed. Now, I'm going to say that one more time. When we pray, or when this man left Jesus to return home, something changed in the spirit realm, something that was not seen by this man. And that's the same way with us. The thing that happened for this man was his son began to amend. There may have been no change that could be seen. Well, evidently in this case there was, because they said he began to amend at that hour. They could see a change. But folks, for us, there often is not a change that we can see right away. But the thing that changes is in the spirit realm. When we believe, we receive, when we pray, power is then immediately applied to that situation. That, now here's what's important, that if left uninterrupted, will produce the thing for which we prayed. Now, by one left uninterrupted, what I mean is, from the time that we pray, when that power is applied to the situation at that instant, if we will continue to walk in faith and continue to maintain a confession that's consistent with our prayer, and continue to act during that time, and I don't mean act like an actor, I mean naturally act in a way that is complementary to our prayer. I'm going slowly here because I want to say this right. Then we shall receive that thing for which we've prayed. So folks, it's necessary, because all this time, folks, things are changing in the spirit realm, and finally, the thing for which we prayed will become manifest in this material world we live in if we maintain that positive confession and those positive actions that mirror the thing for which we've prayed. Then we will receive it. So it's like, this is a great example for us. As the man walked his way, his son began to amend and get better and better. All right? And it's the same way when we pray. When we believe we receive, when we pray, then power is applied to that situation. Folks, there's a wonderful example in the Bible in Mark chapter 16. I'm going to turn there right now because it concerns healing. And I want to read to you what it says. It says, Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall..." And he lists several things that we can do as believers, those that believe, in his name. And in verse 18, in the last part of that verse, it says, "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, folks, it's the same thing here. If you look up that word, "shall recover," in the Greek, there's two words there, kalos, echo, E-C-H-O, K-A-L-O-S. And that word, "shall recover," kalos, echo, means, if you look it up in the Greek, shall have the means of recovery imparted to them. Another translation says, shall begin to amend. That's what it really means, folks, in here is, if we're believers, we can lay hands on the sick, and if we do that, they shall recover. And what it means is, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall begin to amend. They shall have the means of recovery imparted to them. So here it's the same way. Begin to amend. Shall recover means begin to amend. So folks, the instant we lay hands on someone for healing, if we're a believer and we do it in the name of Jesus, there is a power imparted to that person at that instant that, if left uninterrupted, will bring about a healing and a cure for that person, as long as we maintain that faith from the time those hands are laid upon that person until the healing manifests. Now, if we begin to say negative things, it's going to be like when Peter was walking on the water. You notice when he walked on the water, he did fine as long as he looked at the Word of God, which was come. But as soon as he began to look at other things, the wind and the waves and things like that, he began to sink. And folks, he didn't just drop below the surface immediately. It says he began to sink. In fact, he was sinking slowly, so much so that Jesus had time to reach out and take his hands and keep him from sinking further. So that just shows us, when we pray and we act on the Word of God, that when we do something negative, like Peter did, he looked at the situation like we could look at our heel. I don't see any change in my body. I don't see any change in my son. I don't know what's happening back there at home. That says when we start thinking about that, we begin to sink. In other words, things begin to slow down. The things that were started in the spirit realm by God, a change in the situation begin to slow down. And if we continue to say negative things, it'll eventually stop that healing process. Okay? So we need to maintain a solid line of positive confession in line with God's word. And if we do blow it and say something negative, immediately say, Father, I'm sorry. I don't mean that. I'm going back to my original prayer here. Father, I repent of that. That was a negative statement I just made. I don't believe that. I believe that I receive when I pray, and I still believe that, Father. Forgive me for saying that. And then that healing process will continue, or whatever it is that you're believing for. See, Peter called out for help, and he says, help, Lord, help me. And as soon as he did that, the Lord took his hand. So we can change that situation back positive again. If we'll just repent before God, say, Lord, I kind of got off beam there for a minute, but Lord, forgive me. I'm getting right back on in my believing again. We can do that, folks. So a lot of things came into the lesson here, and I hope it's helped you. I know it's helped me. So this completes our homework for this particular lesson.